just three would stay together, and I will wind up slowly making the preaching here this morning. We started this on last week, and I hope this ain't one of them subjects I'm more excited about than y'all are. I have enjoyed doing the study on this.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get into something as a preacher, and I don't mean this, I'm not degrading my church for nothing. Sometimes you get up and you maybe just full of it, and then amen, they look at you like you're full of it, amen. And just a disconnect there. But I trust that what we're studying today, I understand it's very doctrinal, but we've got to know our doctrine.
Right.
We've got to know our doctrine. We've got to know what we believe and why we believe it. And there's a lot of confusion in this day, and I'm thankful I'm not confused. I'm thankful that I know the truth, and I'm glad that I know who the Lord Jesus is. Genesis chapter number 3, and I'll just read a couple of verses here, then we'll read the verses in Galatians again here in just a moment. The Bible said, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And we'll leave off our reading there. Look with me in Galatians chapter number 3. And just a couple of verses. We will be looking at this text more on next Sunday. But here's what the Apostle Paul said. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us.
Yeah.
For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if the Lord will help us, we'll continue the thought. We'll kind of go over some, lay a little bit of groundwork we did on last week. But we're dealing with the subject of Christ and the curse. Christ and the curse. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we pause for just a moment to pray one more time in an acknowledgement, Lord, that what you have called us to do, and Lord, what is our lot, Lord, to fulfill this morning, we are unable to do it outside of the help of our God. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that, Lord, you would illuminate our minds and our hearts and our eyes. Lord, that the things you've shown us through your word and the things that have so stirred my heart in magnifying the Lord Jesus, Lord, would be able to be conveyed to the hearts of these that are gathered here today. Lord, I'm sure. Lord, I'm preaching mainly and mostly, Lord, here today to folk that have been born again and saved by the grace of God. And Lord, I pray their hearts would be stirred to consider again what Jesus has done for us. And that, Lord, in being stirred, Lord, we would, Lord, find ourselves compelled to serve you more like never before. And then, Lord, I'm well aware as well, there's likely several that are here today that have never been saved. Lord, I pray as we magnify the Lord Jesus and some of the things he's done for us, Lord, to obtain our salvation and to break us free from sin. And Lord, even the very curse that we'll magnify this morning, I pray,
yeah,
Lord, their hearts would be convicted, they'd be drawn to the Savior, and that, Lord, they would indeed, Lord, find that it's different now, that it can be different now, and that when they leave and go their separate way from this place, that, Lord, they can sing of so great salvation.
Yeah.
And, Lord, all that you do in this place, we'll be careful to thank you most of all, Lord. Just magnify your Son.
Yes.
And, Lord, do that work today that we can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We settled last week when we considered Genesis 3. And this gives us the record of the fall of man that resulted in what we now have as a world of iniquity, a world of pain, and a world of death. that we've been living under for 6 to 7, some say 8,000 years now. And the reason for all the sin and the perversions and the sorrow and the death that we experience and have to live through in heartaches and pains and tears rolling down our face all comes back to Genesis 3, the fall of man into sin and the curse that has been passed upon men for his sin. Genesis 3 then not only reveals the fall of man, but it reveals the curse that man has brought him upon himself and all of creation with it. And we understand that we're fallen creatures today, and we were made a little lower than the angels, but sin, one old writer said, has left us a little better than devils, and that no doubt is the result of the fall of man and the curse that is upon us. As we read Genesis 3, the fall of man, we understand the different components and individuals that are involved in Genesis 3, that namely the serpent or the devil, the adversary of man, the deceiver. We know the woman Eve is there, and we ultimately understand Adam is there. When we consider the fall of man and the curse that proceeds from that, the serpent and the woman both receive a curse. In fact, you'll read about that prior to the curse of man, the curse of Adam, which is what we're interested in today, because as a result of Adam being cursed, you and I, all of us, men and women, boys and girls, young and old, and of every race, have passed upon us not only sin and death, but the matter of the curse which was given there to Adam in that day. And so when the Bible speaks about this curse, and it does in our text, in fact, in Genesis 3:17, thou shalt not, this is what the Lord said, eat of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. And then the Lord said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And so the curse begins to be laid out upon Adam. What all is going to take place is saying, Adam, you've been enjoying fellowship with me. You've been enjoying my creation. And the days of your life until now have been filled with joy. They've been filled with labor and tending to the garden and the creation and having dominion over it. But you've never been weary and you've never toiled and you've never sweated and you've never wept and you've never cried and you have enjoyed the blessings of Almighty God in this creation. And Adam, because of sin, because of the fall, amen, I am cursing the ground for your sake. And Adam, with this curse, you're now going to sorrow. And Adam, now with this curse, you're going to weep and you're going to cry. And you're going to feel pain, and sweat is going to pour out of your skin as you labor. And Adam, you are going to eat your bread, and you'll be satisfied with it. But you're going to eat your bread with sorrow until the day that you die. You came out of the dust, and to the dust you're going to return. And so Adam has this as a curse upon him for his sin. And so we said on last week that the matter of the curse is the Bible would speak about this curse. When it does, it is implying that there is a denunciation, a condemnation, and a vindication of God toward man because of his sin. The Bible would declare in Psalm 37 and verse number 22, amen, that those that have been cursed of the Lord, they shall be cut off. And on that day, Adam was cut off. He had never been separated from God. He had never, my friend, been disjointed from God in any way. But the day that he ate, and the day that he sinned, and the day that the fall was experienced, and the day the curse came, we find that Adam now has been cut off. And so is all the sons and daughters of Adam, they have been cut off. And that implied to you and I that God has denounced our sin. There is a condemnation for that sin. And that God in his holiness will vindicate himself, amen, against sinful man. And that is a part of the curse that we are under.
There is no escaping it. There is no, amen, being born into a certain family gets you out of it, or to a lesser degree, the curse is upon all of it. Amen. It matters not where you're born. It matters not your upbringing. It matters not your social status. It matters not the money you make, the ladders you climb, and the things you do in this life. Amen. All mankind is under this same curse. Amen. We said on last week, to be under a curse is the opposite of being under a blessing. Amen. Adam had only known the blessings of God in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 2. Amen. It was in the garden God blessed him with the breath of life, and he became a living soul. It was in the garden that God blessed him with dominion over all his creation. It was in the garden that God blessed Adam with a woman to be his wife and to enter into holy matrimony with. It's in the garden, we understand, and God blessed Adam with daily, constant, unsevered fellowship as the voice of God would walk with him in the cool of the day. And so nothing was withheld from Adam's hand. Say, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. The Lord blessed him by saying, you can eat of every tree that's in the garden. Amen. Except for that one. And so, amen, Adam, prior to Genesis 3, amen, only lived under a blessing. Amen, friend, by the time Genesis 3 comes to a close, we understand that now he's living in the opposite of a blessing. He's living under a curse. Amen. And that is where sinful men are in this hour. You study that in Proverbs 3:33. The curse involves a sentence of divine judgment proceeding from God and the ruin therein inflicted upon sinful men. And so you don't have to be a theologian to look around in our day and understand, amen, that we're living in a cursed world among cursed men. Amen. How do I know that? 2 Peter 2:14, Peter describing, amen, those that have yet to be saved, those that are outside the realm of the new birth. Amen. That Peter said, God knows how, amen, to keep them that are godly from temptation. Amen. But he said he also has reserved the ungodly for judgment and punishment that is to come. And he begins to describe them in the following verses. And when you come to 2 Peter 2:14, he gives, amen, a simple description, Brother Tim, of those that are lost. Amen. Peter said they are cursed children. And that's where we are. That's where all of us are. Amen. That's when we're born as cursed children. Amen. So the curse is not just upon Adam. Amen. But the curse has been passed down through the bloodline. Amen. The whole creation here, amen, that we live in. And so we embarked on last week a very general study of an overview of what we would find. And the scripture would teach us about the curse. Amen. The curse. We looked at the message of the curse in the garden in Genesis 3:17-19. Amen. There is the message. Adam, you have done what I said don't do. Therefore, the ground is cursed for thy sake. And so there is the message of the curse. But we looked at the magnifying of the curse in the law. Amen. Galatians 3 and verse number 10. Amen. We didn't read that verse again this morning. We're going to get to it, I think, on next week real good. Amen. But Galatians 3:10 said, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continue not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And Brother Tim got to teaching this morning. Amen. And he got going down this certain vein if he was here. And but Tim wasn't here last week to know what I was going to continue to preach this week. And I audibly went, oh. Amen. And Miss Kate turned and looked at me like, what in the world is your problem? Amen. Because he knew he was stepping in on my boundaries here, okay? Amen. The law here, amen, Paul said magnifies the curse that man is under. Amen. He doesn't. and gifts heavenly, violating in one simple command. And that curse is passed down upon all in the dispensation of the law. And man, it's not that the law would save a man. The law can never save a man. Amen. Not the sacrifices, not the offerings, it never brought redemption. A dispensation of the law was for the purpose of revealing to mankind every one of you are absolutely cursed. And so, man, friend, if we offend in one point, we're guilty of the whole thing. Amen. What is that? It is a magnifying of the curse that is found in the law. And there's probably more we'll need to say about that on next week. We look at the misery of the curse that is in the world. In Romans 8, 20 through 23, the whole creation, amen, groaneth even until now, waiting, amen, for that redemption that has been promised. And so, my friend, there is misery in the world. We groan as God's people understanding of the doctrine in which we are dealing with today, the curse that we are under. Amen. We await for the redemption, that is, Paul said, to win the redemption of our bodies. Amen. Waiting for a time and a day in which the curse will be lifted off of your life. And what a day that will be. And so the misery of the curses in the world. Amen. It's seen in the tears that we shed. It's seen in the hospitals we frequent. Amen. It's seen in the funeral homes and by the grave sites. Amen. The misery of the curse that is in the world on every hand. I thank God we looked at number four, the mediation for the curse in the cross. And that friend Christ mediated on behalf of mankind. Amen. In this matter, the curse that we're under. And he did it 2,000 years ago on an old rugged cross. Amen. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. They made a curse for us. Where did that happen? Amen. And Paul reaches back to the Old Testament. Amen. Underneath the law that Brother Tim was talking about. That, amen. The prohibition and mandatory laws on the condemnations that were bring out. And under the law, God said, cursing is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And thank God Christ did exactly that. Amen. Being made a curse for those who have, amen, been cursed in Adam. And so the mediation, amen, the mediation, Christ mediated. Amen. And you read Genesis 3, the Bible said, amen, that the scripture foreseen that God, amen, would justify the heathen by faith. Amen. Would bless them with the faith of Abraham. Amen. The one who before the gospel had the gospel preached unto him. Amen. That Christ said he seen that day and rejoiced in it and was glad. I don't know how all that happened. I don't know what all was revealed to him. Amen. I can't believe it was on Mount Moriah in that blessed day worshiping God. Amen. But there was something in all of that. Amen. That God reaches down in Calvary. Amen. It shows there is a mediation for the curse. Amen. It's not found in the programs of social standing. It ain't found in social justice activities and causes. It ain't found out friend in the, amen, in the regions of the world and in its system. Oh no, it's found only in an old rugged cross when Christ, amen, spanned the gap between the sovereign holy God, amen, between the man cursed and sinful fallen men. Amen. The mediation for the curse is in the cross. And we'll say a whole lot more about that. Amen. On next week we ended. Amen. On last week in this introductory overview. And we looked at the marvel of no curse in the new creation. Amen. In John 11 in the revelation of Jesus Christ that he saw. Amen. When the new heaven and the new earth was seen to John. Amen. John said the Lamb was in it and there was no more curse. Amen. There is coming a day in which, amen, all our groaning shall be over. Amen. A day when the child of God will be set free. Amen. To be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen. Friend, what a glorious, glorious day. Amen. When we arrive in the new creation and look around, amen, there might be one sorrow, one pain, no death, no suffering. and all tears have been wiped away from our eyes. How in the world is that possible? Amen. Because John said we're headed to a land and we marvel there is no curse there. Amen. Amen. Not one sign of it, not one ounce of it. Amen. Thank God. And I got to be careful how I'm not preaching all over that. Amen. Again. And so what we find in this overview of the matter of the curse that we see in our day, that we find really that the only hope mankind has in regard to the curse that we're under must be found and is only found in Christ.
Right.
When you read Genesis 3, I made this statement on last week, that when we read Genesis 3, amen, we must begin to meditate upon Christ, who is our only hope of being delivered from this awful curse. If you read Genesis 3 and you leave Christ out, you're hopeless. If you read Genesis 3 in the end and what God has put man under, amen, the denunciation of his sin, the condemnation, and his living under the weight of that, and the coming vindication of God's wrath against, amen, what sin has turned us into. My friend, we are absolutely and utterly hopeless. But my friend, I'm glad Christ is there. Amen. I'm glad that Christ is there in Genesis 3. You say, preacher, he wasn't there. I beg to differ with you. Amen. In fact, after that resurrection, Jesus, amen, mentioned two disciples on the Emmaus Road. Amen. And what did the Word of God say? That when he joined himself to them, amen, he expounded unto them the scriptures of all things concerning himself. But Jesse, do you know where he began to do that? The Bible said in the beginning at Moses. Amen. And I tell you, I'm glad there is a Christ. And there is a sacrifice. And there is a message. Amen. That yes, man is cursed. Yes, Adam, you have sinned it. And God will never go along with your sin or any of your seed sin. Amen. He has denounced it and it is condemned. And it is headed for the judgment of God. Amen. But I'm glad there is Christ. There is a Christ. Amen. There is the Christ for the curse. And that brings us to our goal of preaching on Christ and the curse. Amen. You say, preacher, is there hope in Him? Amen. There is only hope in Him. Amen. There is no hope in any other. Amen. There is no salvation, Peter would say, in any other. Amen. None other name given among men. Amen. Under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Amen. Without Jesus, you're left unrecursed. Amen. Without Christ, mediated and his mediatorial word. Oh, my friend, we are absolutely left in the darkness of the curse. And mankind goes home today and they know they feel pain. And they know the sorrow of life. And they know the emptiness and the vanity of all. And they're trying to find satisfaction and fulfillment in it. But my friend, somehow so many, amen, cannot understand that Christ is the cure for the curse. Amen. I'm thankful for that today. Amen. I have found the cure. Amen. I have found the cure, and his name is Christ. Amen. The Lord Jesus is the one. Amen. That can be the cure for the curse. Amen. And so we want to look at this in three terms. Amen. And unfold it to you. Amen. One point at a time, if the Lord will help us this morning. What I'm interested in is we consider Christ and the curse. Consider with me that we see the reversal of Christ in the curse. The reversal, I call it the reversal of Christ in the curse. Now let me explain briefly and I'll expound on it what I mean. And what we mean here is that when we consider the curse in relation to the fall of Adam, what we find is we'll find and see several contrasts between he and Christ. That the curse that Adam is under and has placed upon him, and thereby upon you and I magnified in the Lord. And that friend seen it everywhere in creation as itself grows, that there are some contrasts between the fall of Adam and what he did and get us under the curse, and what Christ did to come and reverse all that Adam did to get us out of it. Amen. Now, amen. Y'all bear with me now. What Adam, here's my thought, what Adam did to enter the curse, Christ did in reverse. Amen. And it had to be this way. Amen. Look with me in Romans chapter number 5. Let me show you a lot of verses we could go to. Let's slow down just a minute. Let's get this taught the right way. In Romans chapter number 5. Look with me in verse, I believe it's verse number 15. Romans 5, verse number 15. But not as the offense, so also is, let me back up and get some context, verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death, there's your curse, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure, notice this, who is the figure of him that was to come. And say, that is a statement of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice with me now in verse number 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. The doctrinal implications in what Paul is teaching is simply this: Adam's sin, and we're all sinners in Adam, and because we're all sinners, death is passed upon all because all have sinned. Amen. We're all under this curse. Amen. But oh, thank God, grace said there is a way out. Amen. One man got us in his plea. Amen. But the God man can get us out. Amen. One man offended God. One man, amen, glorified God. Amen. Adam failed to sin. And Christ came and conquered sin. And the idea here is that man and Adam and man under the law has no other way except for Christ to reverse what Adam did. You could not reverse it. The church could not reverse it. Religion could not reverse it. Good deeds could not reverse it. It would take somebody, amen, who would come, and that friend be, amen, a complete antithesis to that, and Adam him to get us in this curse in the first place. Thank God grace compelled Christ to come. Amen. And in that grace many have abounded. Amen. You see, the curse is pushing us down. Amen. The curse, that friend, has its foot upon our spiritual neck, and will not even let us breathe, and will not let us live. Amen. But Christ came in by grace. Amen. That grace has abounded unto many. Thank God, I'm one of the many. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad in Christ. Amen. For the day that I realize that Christ reversed everything that Adam did. So what did Adam do? There's three things I want to give you to kind of lay out this point and get us where we need to go. I thought I'd preach about 25 minutes right here, but I can tell I'm staring up already. Amen. Number one, considering the fall of Adam, his decision to sin, and the curse that results in that, what you find is that Adam dishonored God's love. What got us in this mess is that Adam dishonored God's love. Let me run through that and then we'll back up and come back through these. God's love, weren't we, man? Amen. And the insinuation of the satanic led insurrection in Genesis 3 seems to cast some accusation of the legitimacy of God's love toward Adam. When the devil comes to Eve, and no doubt we can debate where's Adam and all of this. Amen. The Bible said that when she gave to her husband, he also with her. And so my understanding, according to that, he's in proximity to hear all of this. Amen. As the temptations are being presented, Adam hears it. And there seems to be behind what Satan is presenting to mankind, at the very least, an insinuation that Adam, Eve, God is being unkind to you. If God really loved you, He wouldn't be holding you back from this that is going to open your eyes and make you as though you were God's. There is the insinuation that somehow God does not care for them. But may I say, God had already proven that love. Amen. Mankind was God's pitiful creation. It was the last thing that God made. Amen. God, when He looked at the sun and the moon and the stars in His creation, amen, God said it was good, it was good, it was good. And when He seen man, He said it is very good. Amen. He had an affection and a love for mankind and for this Adam that seemingly, amen, was greater than His love for anything else. Satan has casted an accusation that somehow God does not love you. Satan is implying again that God is unkind for withholding what Satan would present to be the best of Eden from Adam. And when man questioned God's love, he sinned and was cursed. What got man to go down a road of sin and eventually have God come and curse him on the ground for his sake? It's that there is a dishonoring of God's love by Adam. Am I making any sense?
Yes.
God loved Adam. He showed up the cool of the garden every day to walk with him. He, my friend, loved Adam enough that after he had made the man, he looked at him and said, it's not good that a man should be alone. I'll make it help me for him. God loved Adam enough that he realized that Adam needed a spouse. He needed a bread. He needed a companion in life, a helpmate. Amen. In this thing of the creation is in charge. Amen. God gave him a bread because God loved him. Now the devil comes and says, amen, through insinuation, God is unkind. God is not as good. God is not as gracious. God doesn't love you like He says He loves you. Man winds up cursed. Amen. Adam not only dishonored God's love, but he doubted God's truth.
Yeah, right.
Boy, we're really getting into the meat of the matter. You see, God had said to Adam in regard to the day that he would eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. God plainly declared there's no gray area. There's no wiggle room. He said, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2:17. Satan deviously cast doubt back, denying God's word in Genesis 3 and verse number 4. Here's what the devil said, ye shall not surely die. Yeah. And so Adam now has been presented with what God said, and now he has been presented with what the devil says, and Adam has to make up his mind, who am I going to believe? God said, you shall surely die, and Satan says, you shall not surely die. And so I would submit that when Adam reached out and took the fruit and ate of it, and his eyes are open, meaning sin, and that friend Adam made cursed him. Now, don't get too critical of that, because we have these same issues today. He had it, he had this to a greater degree. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam had never seen death. Adam could sit down and reason and say, God said I would die, the devil said I would surely not die. I never seen death. I've never seen the loss of life. And you see prior to this, amen, the concept of death and what it was, amen, Adam would not be able to comprehend all that that was. Amen, all he had was that word from God. Amen, a word from the truth that said, you may not understand it, you may not be able to comprehend it, you may not be able to reason it out, but Adam, the day you eat, you're going to die. In his mind, somehow, Brother Bobby seems to have reasoned, I don't even know if God's telling me the truth. I've got to believe one or the other. And he chose to doubt God's truth. Wound up in sin under a curse. Amen. Number three, he not only dishonored God's love and doubted God's truth, but really when you boil down to it, what Adam did, he defied God's authority. Somehow Satan led Adam to despise man's creator. I don't understand it. Cordell, I don't understand how the God who had been nothing but good to Adam, over one law and one commandment, by the way, that was the prerogative of man's creator. Amen. The lawgiver, the governor, the master, the Lord. Amen. Who made us, it's his prerogative. Amen. To tell us not to eat of that one tree. He's the one who sets the boundaries. He's the one that's in charge. He's the one that we owe our life to. And from God gave man one simple commandment. Somehow Satan has got Adam to begin to despise the God that had made him. Oh, I'm trying to get some preaching ground. Amen. You see, Adam threw off, amen, the one command from his lawgiver, Adam defied the one who had the right to define the boundaries of his created beings. And in doing so, the curse came. So long as Adam walked with God and recognized God's authority and respected the boundary that God through his word had put up around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man enjoyed the blessings of God. The moment that Adam, amen, stepped over the line, amen, the moment that Adam said, I don't care what God has said, amen, he was defying the authority of Almighty God that resulted in sin, it resulted in the fall, and it resulted in him and us losing every blessing that God intended for us to have. Now man is cursed because he dishonored God's love, he doubted God's truth, he defied God's authority. You say, well, preacher, that's awful. Yes, but that's only, amen, that's only part of the story. Amen, because we're looking at Christ and the curse. Are we cursed? You better believe we are. Amen, men still dishonor God's love. They still doubt God's truth. And man, friend, they do daily defy God's authority. How did Christ reverse it? Are y'all with me? Amen. Well, consider this. Christ was compelled by the Father's love. He reverses the curse in that he was compelled by the Father's love. Amen. You see, the Father testified. Amen. The Father testified Christ to be my beloved Son. Savior and Shadow. Amen. God the Father spake from glory. This is my beloved child. Amen. He is my beloved. He was God's and the Father's only begotten. Amen. But thank God he was the Father's beloved. Amen. That word beloved in the New Testament means yes. Amen. It means one loved in a special sense and way. And so the Father testified. Amen. No doubt as he had done with Peter. Amen. I love my son. I love my only begotten. Amen. And so we find there is the testimony of the Father. Can I say the Father had, in the sense of loving his son? Amen. Christ testified in his high priestly prayer, John 17:24. Amen. And the Father loved him before the foundation of the world. Amen. This is an eternal love. Amen. A love that is eternal. A love, my friend, that, amen, never, never, never grew weary. A love that never wore out. Amen. A love that goes, my friend, into eternity past. And no doubt on into eternity future. Amen. The Father has loved, always loved the Son. And loved him in his earthly life. And loved him in his death. And loved him in his burial. And loved him in his resurrection. And loved him in his ascension. And loves him in his intercession. And loved him when he comes back. And loved him when he brings his way home. And loved him when he sits on the throne. And loved him in the New Jerusalem. Amen. The Father has always and will always love his Son. That's what Adam forgot. That's what Adam dishonored. That God is love. Amen. God is love. It's not just something he does. Amen. John 11 said God is love. Amen. And God loved Adam. And God loved Adam eternally. But my friend Adam, for a moment of time, is led away to doubt God's love. Jesus never doubted.
Yeah. Right. Hey.
Jesus, let me word it this way, Jesus was aware of this love. Say, how do you know? Look with me in John 17, a little reference in. Oh man, I gotta hurry. Amen. John 17. Will y'all be okay if I could preach to 3 or 4 tonight? If I preach that long, then we'll just cancel tonight. How's that? Alright? Amen. John 17. Look with me. Oh, I love John 17. It's a mountaintop chapter in the Word of God. Amen. John 17. Look with me in verse number 20, 23. Amen. When Jesus said, I am them and thou and me. And they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. Now here's the phrase. As thou hast loved me. Amen. I'm going somewhere. You got to stay with me. You're going to miss it. Here's what Christ is confessing in this prayer. I know that my Father loves me. He's loved me. Let's say the next verse again. He loved me before the foundation of the world. And now that I've left the portals of glory, and now that I've stepped into time in a human body that is made for me, and there seems to be a distance, and there seems to be, amen, a span of time and a span of space between us. Amen. Here's what he said. He said, Father, I know thou hast loved me. He said in verse 26, and I declared unto him thy name, and will declare it, and the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be of them, and I am them. And so Christ is confessing, I am aware that he did not just love me before the foundation of the world, but he has loved me all along. Every step I've taken, he's loved me. Amen. Everything I've done, he's loved me in it. Amen. This is my beloved son. And the son heard that. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a love we can't even hardly comprehend. Amen. We get a thimble full and drown to death on this. Amen. That the Father loved his son. Amen. What Adam had dishonored. Amen. Christ cause you, amen, to somehow think that God is unkind. Yeah. I'm talking about the one who came to breathe and to die. I'm talking about man, Freeman Jones said too. Amen, we're talking, he is now down to hours of going to the cross and suffering and taking on sin and becoming a curse for you and me. Amen, he said there, I know, and my Father has loved me.
Notice that in being aware of this love, Christ is what Adam failed to be, compelled by this love. Are y'all with me? What got Adam in trouble, and thus you and I, is he did not value the love of God.
Right.
Christ did. You see, preacher, how do you know that? Let me show you a few verses. I may have to just stop and pick this back up tonight. I know this thing's growing, man. If y'all was, I don't know if it's growing out here, it's growing up here. John 15. Look with me in John 15. Amen. Here's what the Bible said in verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me. What a statement. As the Father hath loved me. Now we know that God loved the world. John 3:16 is the most familiar verse in all the world today from the Word of God. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And the man, friend, and He does. And He loves the world. And He loves men and women and boys and girls individually. But there is another side of God's character that says He is angry with the wicked every day. Did you know that God the Father was never one day angry with His Son?
Right.
Amen. It is said of Jacob and Esau, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Buddy, I tell you, Jacob, there wasn't much about him worth letting a trickster and deceiver. Amen. But my friend, in regard to the lives they lived, amen, Esau was a fleshly man. Esau was a reprobate. Amen. Esau was one that my friend never acknowledged God. Amen. Only repented after a while when he was sorry. Amen. For what he was a missionary on and still never yet found. Amen. A place to get right with God. Amen. That's who you and me. Amen. Oftentimes the Lord identified with. Amen. And it could be said. Amen. Amen. Jesus have I loved and Adam have I hated. Somehow Jesus in John 15 says, fellas, I'm loading your wagon. I'm old. Here in the upper room, I'm giving you a lot of things to think about. But what I want you to know is my Father loves me. As my Father, as the Father hath loved me. Well, how did the Father love His Son? Amen. He loved Him purely. He loved Him personally. And He loved Him perfectly.
Amen.
Now don't miss this. As the Father hath loved me. Notice what Jesus said. He said, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. You're my disciples. I love you. Let that love I have for you compel you to stay faithful to me. In verse number 10, here's the truth I want to give you. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Now notice what Jesus said. He's going to bring us back as it began in verse number 9 that He and the Father, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. In other words, Christ is saying, I don't ever want to do anything that would jeopardize the love
is love.
Do y'all see the reversal? Do you see, do you really see it? I mean, don't humor me now. Do you really see it? And that friend, everywhere Christ goes, everything from being born as a babe in Bethlehem, and then to the day that he treads, and then into thy hands, just following my hands, I commend my spirit. And then there is a reversal of this and in this sovereign God's love. But Christ reversed all the effects of the curse simply by being compelled by his Father's love. People say, well, Christ went to the cross because he loved me. And I'm not going to play semantics with you. I understand there's a part of that. But there's a greater motivating factor for the hell of him going to the cross than that he just loved you and I. Was the fact that he knew his Father loved him. And the only way to reverse, you see, you and I are saved. I would say 25 years, and I'd have to hang my head in shame how many days since I've been saved I've dishonored that love of God. I'm living proof that even after salvation you cannot reverse the curse. That's why I say it had to be Jesus, and Jesus only. He lived in the love of his Father. That word when Jesus said, amen, the commandments of my Father, he said, I do, he said, and abide in his love. That word abide means I stay in it, I walk in it, I dwell in it. Everything I do is motivated by the fact that the Father loves me. Because the Father loves him and he loves us, we now are loved in the Father.
Amen.
That's John 17. I ain't got time to preach all John 17. I want to preach John 17 one of these days so bad. I want to do it. I wanted to do it for 15 years and I just can't wrap my mind around the ever to do it. John 17 teaches us Father loved the Son before the foundation of the world.
Right.
Christ came. Father loved it. That Christ loved those that he gathered into himself in those days. And he reaches out, my friend, across the eons of time to this very day and says, not just these that are with me, all them others, I'm going to bring you.
That's it.
He says, I have loved them, and you have loved me. Father, I'm in them, so you love them like you love me. He said, what's happened? The curse has been reversed.
Amen.
Yes, sir. It's been reversed.
Praise the Lord.
No longer cut off from the Father.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I got so much. I'm so full right now. I feel like running. Amen. Would y'all just dismiss yourself if I run out of here? Compelled by the Father's love.
Amen.
Amen. Let me end here, but I'll just throw out these next two. I may pick them up tonight. I don't want to drag it out too far. He was not only compelled by the Father's love, but he was committed to the Father's truth. He's committed to it. I'll prove that to you. Thank God, though Adam defied the Father's authority, God's authority, we find that Christ was compliant to the Father's authority. What are you saying, preacher? Everything Adam did, Jesus did the opposite. It's the only way the curse could be reversed. He had to work it backwards. Amen. So Adam failed in his relationship to God's love, God's truth, and God's authority. But Christ, by grace, amen, has caused many to abound because he had a right relationship with God's love, God's truth, and God's authority.
God's car.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's more to the story. Just keep on coming back. Let's stand together, begin to play, sister. I just tried to magnify the Lord, show you something, I'm walking down there. But